This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company that my team discovered about 2 or 3 months ago. We're super excited to have them on the show. Ideanomics, Inc. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol IDEX. And with us today is the CEO and director of the company. We're very fortunate and lucky to have him, is Alf Poor. Alf, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You know, give my listeners just a little bit of about statement of who you guys are and what you do, and then we'll get into the Q&A.
Yeah, so we're a very interesting company. We're a company that looks at cutting-edge technologies such as AI and blockchain, and then we take a look at any industry that's in transformation. So particularly we're looking at financial services right now. We're looking at the electric vehicle industry for the transformation of automotive. We look to see how we can take those technologies, bring them to bear in those transformational industries.
You know, I see that you guys concentrate over there in China. So that being said, what are the issues with commercial electric vehicles adoption, and how can your company solve some of the problems over there?
Well, China's a very interesting place for us to be working right now. The reason we chose to start our electric vehicle activities in China is because China is regulation-driven. China has some of the most polluted cities in the world. So unlike America, where it's given some rebates out if you want to, you know, maybe buy a Tesla or another type of EV car.
Right.
In China, they've started to regulate on the commercial side, buses, taxis, vans and trucks, and then heavy trucks as well, with specific deadlines of when they need to be converted from gasoline and diesel. So unlike a free market, which China is kind of quasi-free market, when it's regulatory driven, it's much easier for a company like us to focus and say, okay, these things are going to happen. This isn't market led. This is legislation led. So therefore, it was to us a very appealing place for the first part of the EV transition to take place. But China's backed up that regulation with significant state subsidies to EV manufacturers. So, you know, remove Tesla, which is more of a consumer passenger car play at this time. I know they do have their light truck they're starting to market. China is the leader in commercial EVs. So in terms of vans, trucks, buses, and everything through to, you know, municipal vehicles, garbage disposal, things like that, they are the leader. They have pretty much 90% of the global market share at this point. Between that legislation and that big amount of investment from China, that was somewhere we felt we could have a meaningful impact.
You know, today you recently put out a press release, again, for China, working on the 5G tower project. How did you guys get involved in that, and where are we at in that process?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So our reason for wanting to get involved in the EV industry is really because if you take a step back and you think about, okay, what's occurring here is actually a shift in demand for energy, okay? As EVs take over from gasoline and diesel power vehicles, there's going to be a big shift in energy supply and demand.
Mm.
Less dependence on gasoline and diesel. You're going to see more dependence on electricity. So that's really what we wanted to do. So we do a range of financial services and procurement to help the fleet customers, help them get enabled with EV so they can wind down their activities with gasoline and diesel and move their fleets onto electric. But really what we're doing now is we're looking to participate in the consumption of energy. So what we have is one of our kind of our crown jewels, which is our Mobile Energy Global division that we call MEG. We've set up a wholesale electricity marketplace within one of the subsidiaries of that division. The idea here was originally to sell to energy management storage companies and charging networks so they could get wholesale electricity from the utilities and we could share in that demand for energy. And the 5G towers opportunity came along because our chairman has a large investment fund in China that is helping to finance some of the infrastructure for the new build-out for the 5G towers. So he was able to get us into the conversation and help us win, you know, the rights to be able to supply some of that electricity.
You know, unless you've been under a rock, the COVID-19 has really paralyzed most of the world. That being said, you guys put out a press release, I believe around April the 1st, saying you guys are fully back to fully operations. And at that time, within, I think, 24 hours, you guys signed 3 new deals. Where are we at on that? And is that still the case?
Yeah, it is still the case. I mean, we're a New York-based company. We do have operations in other parts of the world, including China. We have offices in Qingdao in China, which is a coastal city where our EV hub is, but also in Beijing as well. And so we were hit pretty hard in terms of the COVID-19 outbreak in terms of China. They shut things down much faster than we've seen in the US and the West. And they prolonged the type of shutdown conditions that they imposed upon the population as well. So that shut things down completely. And the main issue for us is we're obviously trying to help fleet operators convert from, as I said, gasoline and diesel onto EV fleets. So no deliveries of new vehicles could be made during that time. But as China was obviously the source of the outbreak, they come out of the outbreak quicker. So really around about the 20th to the 25th of March, all of our staff were back in place and able to work again. So we're a modern company, modern infrastructure. We're a service provider. So everything's cloud-based for us anyway. So we were able to work efficiently from home. And you saw that as soon as folks came back online. On the other side, on the customer side, you know, we had the deals ready. We're able to get them secured.
I just want to know about the Nanjing pilot. Can you elaborate a little bit? And what is the significance to that business model for you guys going forward?
Yeah, so when you get involved in the kind of the full value chain of EV, you start having a lot of conversations with different parties. And one of the conversations we had early on was with the Ministry of Transport in China, because we're talking to them about the rebates that we need to get these EV operators, these EV fleets up and running, because the rebates are a really strong component of that. And as we started talking to the Ministry of Transport, we got introductions to other people within the value chain, and we started having a discussion with, you know, energy folks and others within government and quasi-government and private industry. You know, we found that the major petroleum companies in China, which is Sinopec, CNOOC, and PetroChina, they obviously very concerned in the long term about, you know, what this transition to electrical energy consumption for vehicles means for them. We got into discussions with PetroChina, and they asked us to conduct a pilot with them in the city of Nanjing. And Nanjing is a city around the size of New York. It's about 8.5 million people. And the idea here is, you'll pull into a PetroChina forecourt, and this year, if there's, say, 10 pumps on the gas station forecourt, two of them are going to be replaced with EV charging stations. Okay, and then over the next 10 to 15 years, there'll be another two and another two until finally there'll just be the legacy gasoline and diesel pumps left as the exception, and the majority of the forecourt will be electricity charging stations.
Mm.
We signed the deal last year, but as we started to get into the space, we saw that the technology was growing at such a rapid pace that we actually took a step back and we started to work with a lot of the partners in the battery and the fast charging space to make sure that we didn't do a pilot project by deploying technology that was essentially 3 to 4 years old at this point. We got into a relationship with a very good strategic partner, CATL, the big EV battery maker, who's also making what they call supercharge apparatus. And that was as future-proof as we could find at this point. So we held off until those units were ready, that apparatus was ready and authorized for use. And so now we can get the pilot underway. But again, the idea here is, you know, we want to get, to use an American term, you know, we want to get a VIG on every charge that happens. So, you know, if we can take a small percentage of every supercharge that happens, whether it's a commercial vehicle or a passenger vehicle, then we've developed a recurring revenue stream which should be significant over time.
You guys mentioned that you're coming out with your first quarter earnings report somewhere around May 12th or 11th. That being said, your market cap's around $110 million. Where do you find yourself in this mess of things? Undervalued, overvalued, fair value? Could you shed some light on that?
Yeah, obviously, we consider ourselves very undervalued. I think, for a company such as ours to have done a business transformation, obviously, you front load a lot of costs when you do that. So the results in the short term were obviously going to be, difficult for investors to take a look at. But in the long term, what we've been doing is we've been amassing a war chest of deals and also of funds to enable EV lease financing that will allow us to start. Now we're past the COVID-19 stage. I mean, we were able to get some business done in Q1. I can't say too much because
I understand.
But we were able to get something done in Q1. But essentially, the COVID-19 kicked our Q1 over into Q2. So, you know, we'll try and see if we can get Q2 to be a consolidation of Q1 and Q2. But that's still in flight, obviously. But for us, you know, I think if anybody out there right now, I think if you look at a lot of different types of industries, there's going to be a tremendous amount of fallout from this COVID-19. People are not going to really know until they see the Q2 earnings, particularly in the West, how bad it is. So I think if people are looking to say, okay, you know, where are there some high growth value stocks you could take a look at? You know, given that a lot of our activities in China, where it's legislation driven and where they're really putting a lot of stimulus packages around infrastructure, I'd say companies should be, investors should be looking at companies like Ideanomics, because probably we're a little better positioned to weather any financial downturn than most other companies would be.
My guest today is Ben Alfpoor. He is the CEO and director of Ideanomics, Inc. They trade on the NASDAQ. Again, you can find them under the ticker symbol IDEX. He won't say this, but I'll say it. They're grossly undervalued here at 70 cents. They're up about 20% today. And I want to thank you, Al, for coming on the show. I believe in what you guys are doing. I think you're at the right place at the right time. And I think you guys are going to see exceptional growth over the next 3 to 5 quarters. Hopefully you'll come back on the show in 40 or 50 days and give myself and my listeners an update.
Would love to. Thank you very much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.